As most of you guys know, the theme of the year for New Philly is rest. It's rest. You know, I've forgotten how to write cursive. I've lived in Korea for so long, but I can still read it, thankfully. The theme for the church this year is rest, and rest is very powerful. Through rest, so much can happen in our bodies. A person at rest does not experience fear or anxiety, right? When you're at rest, you're not tense. You're very loose. You're very calm. You're alert, but you're not alert in a stressed out way. You're at peace. It's when you're at rest that creativity and inspiration can come out. You can begin to think about things because you're not so wrapped up in the busyness, but you're at peace. You can dream. You can sleep. Okay? If you are sick, first diagnosis, one of the first things that doctors will tell you to do is get rest. Doesn't matter what the illness is, what the injury is, almost always they will tell you one of the main things you need to do is rest. If you are at rest, healing is going to come forth. Your body is going to get stronger and stronger. But if you're tense, if you're running around, you're not going to heal as well. An exhausted worker is not that productive. An exhausted worker could work 20 hours straight, but if they're exhausted, the work that they get done might be a fraction of what a rested worker could do in just 8 hours. All right, a rested worker is far more productive. So rest is very important. And one of the another areas that rest is very important in is an area that I want to see New Philly Shelem develop this year. All right, as your campus pastor, one of the main things on my heart for Shelem this year, especially for our leadership, is to grow in the prophetic. I want to see this house get deeper into the ways of the Holy Spirit. I want to see this house get greater dreams, greater visions, for the prophetic to just be flourishing in this house, for us to be able to speak into people's lives, encouragement and life, words of the Spirit, words that will release faith. And how did God speak the most to prophets in the Bible? He spoke to them mostly through dreams and through visions. He spoke to them when they were at a place of rest. You see, if you want the prophetic to flourish, you have to be at rest. If you want to hear the Lord's voice, if you want a strong prophetic word, you can't be all tensed up. You can't be all running around. Your soul and your spirit needs to be at a place of rest before Him. And so I want the house to really grow in rest so that we can see the prophetic flourish. Another thing that happens through rest, and another thing that I want for this house, is growth. For me, when I was in fifth grade and sixth grade in elementary school, I missed a lot of school. Gina, yeah, if you could cut that, that'd be great. I missed a lot of school, and I was fatigued, my body was aching, and I would just lay at home on the couch. And my mom told me, it's because your body is getting ready to grow. At that time, when I was growing up, I was never tall. I was always average height or lower than average height. And then after sixth grade, after that time of fatigue and laying on the couch, suddenly those muscle aches ended. And then in seventh grade and eighth grade, I shot up. I went from being just average height in the class, average height on the basketball team, to being one of the taller kids in the class. And I don't believe that growth would have happened if I hadn't been resting. If I had been pushing my body back in fifth and sixth grade, pushing it and pushing it, my muscles wouldn't have been in a place ready to make my body grow. So rest is important. You want to flourish in the prophetic, you have to be at a place of rest. You want to grow and mature in your Christian walk. Okay, you want to experience a growth spurt, you have to be at a place of rest. I'm actually not preaching about rest today, but I'm preaching about an instrument for rest. If you want good rest, this is what you need. What I'm going to preach about today is covering. Covering. So the sermon title today is The Need for Covering. This should be review for a number of you, but I think you guys are going to get some new stuff today as well. When I've had a long day, all right, and especially when it's cold out and it's rainy out and I'm tired and I'm sleepy, the first thing that goes in my mind is I can't wait to get home and get under the covers. Okay, this is at least the way people that speak English think. You know, I don't know what Koreans think, you know, but I can't wait to get under the covers. I can't wait to get under my blanket and my sheets. I can't wait to get in my bed and rest. All right, when you think of covers, when you think of your blanket and sheets, you probably don't think about work. You probably don't think about stress. You don't think about all the things that make you anxious. Rather, those covers that you get under, you know, under to sleep, you always think of as warmth, as rest. When I'm sick, I get under the blanket. When I'm tired, I get under the blanket. When I'm sleepy, I get under the blanket and I sleep well. Right? Pretty simple, right? The truth is, it's the same in the spirit. If you want good rest, you need good covering. Good covering, not that woolly blanket that's all itchy that you put on and you're like, you can't sleep, you know. You need them silk, you know, the silk sheets or you know, I don't know what you guys like, but the fleece blanket. I like fleece. You need good covering. And so this is what I'm going to preach about today, covering. Dictionary definition of covering, I think they're going to throw it up there. It's very simple. Covering is something placed over or upon for protection, concealment, or warmth. All right, you put on that blanket, or you put a covering over you, a shield or something over you for protection, concealment, or warmth. So think about it. Your clothes, they cover your body. The clothes that you are wearing are covering you, keeping you from shame. Okay? The umbrella that you carry covers you from rain. All right, if it's raining outside, you put up the umbrella and you're safe. Or if you're in Ajima, when it's sunny, you put it up and it protects you from the sun. All right, these are examples of physical covering, protection, concealment, warmth. But the word covering goes beyond physical objects. Parents, guardians, teachers are meant to provide emotional and physical covering for their children. The authorities, police, the army, the government are supposed to cover their citizens, cover their people. All right, protect them, conceal them. People should feel safe in the government. Your insurance, this is common English. You get in a car accident, immediate thought is, oh, I hope my insurance will cover this. You get into the hospital, will my insurance cover this? And when you find out it will cover it, you feel much more at peace. Go, good, I don't have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm covered. There's security. There's safety, right? This is simple covering. But while there's physical covering and there's emotional covering, there's also a need for spiritual covering. Spiritual covering. In Ephesians 6:12, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. And it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle as a church is not in the physical against people, but rather it's in the spiritual realm where there are angels and where there are demons. It's against Satan. We don't see him, okay, but he is working around us and we need to be aware. We need to be able to fight and defend ourselves. We are in a battle. All right, if North Korea were to invade right now, you would hope, oh, I hope the South Korean army wakes up and that they cover me. You would not feel safe if you looked out and all the soldiers were just sitting around, okay, as the enemy's coming in. You would not feel safe. But if you saw them rallying and running around, you would feel safe. It's the same in the spirit. There is a spiritual war that is happening in your life right now, okay? It isn't that the battle happens there or happens there. There is a battle that is continually happening, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to know what our covering is. Spiritual covering is meant to protect those under it and to provide warmth and security. Just as a blanket gives you covering so you feel at peace and you're able to sleep, the grace of being under good spiritual covering should give you rest in your spirit, enable you to rest in the Lord and to grow and to hear His voice very clearly. To grow and to hear His voice very clearly. So a lot of people ask, where's covering in the Bible? Show me. Okay, Numbers chapter 30. Open up your Bibles, please. Everyone that has your Bible, open up to Numbers chapter 30. If you don't have a Bible, look on the person next to you. If you're Korean, it's Minsugi, Samsipjang. That's the only book of the Old Testament that I know. I don't know why. Minsugi is easy to remember. Oh, Shipyon, I got that one. Numbers chapter 30. I'm going to read the whole chapter, 16 verses. This is a chapter that I often share with my orphanage ministry volunteers. Covering is critical in orphanage ministry. Critical. You see it the most vividly among the orphans, kids that lack healthy covering. And it's important for every Christian, though, to be well aware of this. Numbers chapter 30, start with verse 1. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, "This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath or binds himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." All right, that's a strong word. He shall do all according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Verse 3, "If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge, while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow and of her pledge by which she has bound herself and says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of hers, no pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her, because her father opposed her. If she marries a husband while under her vows, or any thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her pledges by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if on the day that her husband comes to hear of it, he opposes her, then he makes void her vow that was on her, and the thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she has bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. But any vow of a widow or a divorced woman, anything by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. And if she has vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by a pledge with an oath, and her husband heard of it and said nothing to her and did not oppose her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her husband makes them null and void on the day that he hears them, then whatever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning her pledge of herself shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. Any vow and any binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish, or her husband may make void. But if her husband says nothing to her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her pledges that are upon her. He has established them because he said nothing to her on the day that he heard of them. But if he makes them null and void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes that the Lord commanded Moses about a man and his wife, and about a father and his daughter, while she is in her youth within her father's house." This is a very vivid picture of covering, and it's a zoom in onto just a family unit. Now, if you read Ephesians 5, verse 23, it says that the man is the head of the wife. He is the head of the household. And so God views the man in the family as the chief authority and as the covering for that house. All right, if someone were to break into my apartment tonight, I would not look at Sky and say, "Please protect me." All right, that would be really jacked up. I'm the man of the house. I am meant to protect her. Even if I get harmed, that's fine as long as she is not touched. I will sacrifice my body. I'll do whatever it takes to protect her. And Omani, because Omani lives with us as well. I'll protect you too, Omani. Don't worry. This is the man's role of covering. And this covering does not just extend to the physical. It's not just, I protect you from robbers. I protect you from swindlers. I protect you from these people. It's also spiritual. Numbers 30 is pure spiritual covering. The daughter or the wife says something foolish with her mouth, evokes sin, makes a vow that is not right, okay? Speaks something that is wrong before the Lord. God says, "I will hold her in account for these words." But if her spiritual covering, whether it's her father, because she's living with her father and he's the head of the household, or her husband, because she's now living with her husband, she's left that initial spiritual covering, now she's with her husband. If he stands against it and says, "God, I've heard this, it was wrong, I pray grace over her. God, I establish her in this truth and I speak this life over her," then what God says is, "Look, the iniquity that was upon her, it's now upon you. I forgive her. I release her from this, okay, and I give you grace." And this bearing of the iniquity isn't that now the husband has to deal with this curse. It's not that at all. It's that he has taken it for her and he has made it null and void, canceled and false, nothing by his prayers. So what we read here is that a father and a husband has great power in the spirit to establish identity and to speak grace and spiritual covering over the children and over the wife. This is crucial in families. But if it's a deadbeat dad, if it's a quiet husband and they are silent, despite being there, it's the same as that thief comes in. Hey, I'm here. I'm your covering. But guess what? I'm not going to do anything. He's just going to come in and rampage the house and abuse you. That's not being covering. I'm there. I'm supposed to be the head of the household. But if I do nothing to fight, I'm really no physical covering. And if I don't pray, and if I don't speak out identity, then I am not being spiritual covering for my spouse or for my children. Covering is not automatic. It's not just, oh, they have parents, so they're safe. I've seen many kids with parents who are around, but they don't speak. And these kids end up in different sin, end up in different struggles. I've seen this all over the place in the orphanages that I visited here in Korea. I've visited many orphanages, and it's amazing to see the difference in the homes that have a healthy, spiritually healthy director compared to the homes that the director is not spiritually healthy. Maybe they're just not Christian, or they're Christian, but there's a secret sin or there's something going on. All of these directors might be involved in the same way. And they might be encouraging the kids and setting policies and being involved and raising funds and doing everything in the physical that looks like healthy physical covering. And in the physical, the kids are clothed and they're fed and they're getting educated. But in the spiritual, the homes where the director is praying, there's an innocence about the kids. There's a health. And while there's mistakes and stuff, it's not that extreme. But in the homes where the director has a secret sin, is having an affair, okay, is doing different stuff, or is just not praying at all, is not speaking anything, there are some secret sins and some heavy stuff that is spread among the children that is very grievous and very depressing if you were to discover what exactly is going on in these homes. Covering is critical. Spiritual covering is critical. Just think of a woman. When she's pregnant, her body, her everything is covering to that baby in the womb. Okay? And so what the mother eats, she's allowing in the physical. And the baby gets that as well. And that's why you're not supposed to drink alcohol when you're pregnant. You're not supposed to do drugs. I mean, never should do drugs, but especially when the child is pregnant. And studies have shown that for mothers that are addicted to drugs and they continue to do drugs while the baby is in the womb, not only will the baby be physically deformed because of the drugs, but the babies will be automatically addicted to those drugs. It's not that the baby comes out of the womb and is like, you know, give me drugs or anything like that. It's not that. But when the child starts to get older, if the child sniffs of it or gets near it, they will be immediately hooked into it. Okay? That's the danger of the covering has to be healthy. The covering has to be good for these kids to grow up healthy. If the mother allows evil in to herself, she's allowing that evil into the baby. We've seen different mothers who have struggled with the spirit of fear or different spirits that just really plague them during their pregnancy. Sadly, when the child is born, as the child grows up, the child struggles with nightmares. Child struggles with its own fears. Okay? The spirit, stuff that you take in the spiritual as well, when you're pregnant, affects your children in the spirit. This is the power of covering. I've even found doing healing deliverance ministry over many years and having all sorts of different cases. When we do healing deliverance, we just like a counseling session where we get in deep, especially addictive sins, sins of shame, you know, heavy stuff, occultic sin, sexual sin, abuse, things like that. And to my surprise, you know, I couldn't understand it at first, but we would do sessions for some women, and they would have sexual sin when they were very young, even before puberty. And I would wonder, what is the root of this? Why did this happen? God is such a gracious God. Why would God allow a child that's so innocent to discover some of these things when she's only 5 years old or 8 years old? But as I kept doing these sessions, I began to find a trend among most of these women that had struggled with sexual sin, especially before puberty. And it was that either they did not have a father or their father didn't speak. That, you know, the father would provide dinner, the father would be there, but would never affirm, would never discipline, was not involved in their lives. Okay, was likely not praying either. And because of that, there is not this level of grace that all these other kids are receiving, whose fathers are there, whose fathers are speaking, who are praying. Okay, it's not like they're teaching their kids, like, this is wrong and this is right. These kids are innocent. They're little five-year-olds. But for whatever reason, there's levels of grace that's based on the spiritual covering. And when there is no spiritual covering, these kids are vulnerable. It's like being in a battle and having no one there to protect you. There's no way you're going to win. Okay, it's unfair. We need covering. This is why even with Oak Tree Project and our mentors, we provide the mentor to be that covering while that student is in college. Now, Numbers 30, you look at it and you're like, well, that's just family. That's just that little family unit. What about the church, or what about the greater body of Christ? The Old Testament is a physical picture of the New Testament in the spirit. Okay, so in the Old Testament, you had a physical temple that you would go to and worship God. In the New Testament, what is the temple? It's us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, spiritual. Okay, in the Old Testament, you had Israel, God's physical people. These are my chosen people. It's not Moab. It's not Babylon. It's not those people. I have chosen my people of Israel. They were the physical representation of God's church. In the New Testament, it's the believers. We now represent Israel. God says all those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. If you look at Numbers 30, it was a zero in of a family. But if you zoom out and look at all of Israel at that time, Israel was one huge family made up of different tribes. So it's one family, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. All of Israel were descendants of Jacob. Okay, so they're all related, and they're of different tribes, so different DNA. Think Shilim, think Itaewon, think Hongdae. We're very similar. We're all one family, right? But there's different DNA. All right, you know, it's a little quieter here. It's okay. Love you guys, you know, but it's different. Go to Busan, you're going to find it's different. You go to Sydney, you're going to find very similarities, the way we worship, our beliefs, okay, our heart, sonship, these different things. That's DNA, all right? We're very similar in those areas. But just as some of you guys have brothers and sisters, although you're similar DNA, there are personality differences, all right? There are differences between you guys. This is the same for Israel. So you have Israel as one big family. Different tribes. Now, Moses and Aaron were the covering over all of Israel. And under Moses and Aaron were chiefs of thousands. That means they were over 1,000 men, which meant they were over 1,000 families. And then you had the chiefs of hundreds. So under the chief of 1,000 was now a person that did covering over 100 families. Then you had the chiefs of 50. And then you had the chiefs of 10. So the covering, it was very like this. Over Israel. And the chiefs of 10 were now down to over 10 fathers, 10 men, who were then the covering of their own family, which is what we read about in Numbers chapter 30. Okay, so do you see this spiritual covering wasn't just the father takes care of the kids and they're on their own and they're running around? Okay, no, it's the father's over the kids, but the father is under the chief of 10. And that chief of 10 is under the chief of 50. That chief of 50 is under the chief of 100, who's under the chief of 1,000, who is under Moses and Aaron. And there's covering all the way down. And some people ask, well, who was Moses' covering? Who was Aaron's covering? And what happens is when you get older, when I'm going to be a grandfather and I'm going to be very old, all right, and maybe my body is breaking down, I'm not going to be able to be that physical covering for my children. But at that time, my children should be adults and they should have their own children. What happens when people get old is it's an expectation that their children take care of them. Okay? And this is what happens when you get older. My covering is your covering. Many of you, it's your CG leader. CG leader's covering is Pastor Sky and myself. Or for those in Emmaus, it's Pastor JP. We're Pastor JP's covering. For us, our covering is Pastor Christian, Pastor Aaron. Their covering is Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Sonny, Pastor Robert Daniels, and so on and so forth. But what happens if Pastor Robert Daniels passes away, all right, and then it's just Pastor Benjamin. Oh, he's not covered. Oh, we're all going to fall apart. No, okay. He has his sons that look after him. They provide this covering, this protection, this warmth, this concealment. For Moses, if many of you might know of this battle that happened in the Old Testament. They're going into battle, and it said when Moses kept his arms up, Israel was winning. All right, this covering, he's interceding, his hands are up, they're winning. His hands go down, they're losing. All right, it's a crazy picture of covering. Crazy picture. He's affecting this huge battle because he is the spiritual covering of Israel. So he has to keep holding them up, but the battles don't take like 10 minutes. Think of like, you know, you Koreans that have been punished, you know, and you got your hands up and you're like, oh, you know, he's doing this. So who helps him? His brother Aaron and her also, they hold him up. They prop him up. That's a picture of him being covered by them. Okay, they hold up his arms, and so he's able to keep his arms up, and they win the battle. This is stuff of covering that I want you guys to get. All right, so while in the Old Testament, it's a physical Israel, it's one physical family, they really had the same DNA. Us here, I'm sorry, I don't have the same DNA as you know, you guys. We aren't related by blood, okay, you know, but we're related by one spirit. In Ephesians 2:19, I want you guys to look at this verse. I think he's going to put it up. There it is. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And that word household means oikos in the Greek, which means family. You are members of the family of God. If you are a member of this church, that means you are a member of the Shilim family. It's not Shilim Church, campus, or whatever. The church is meant to represent God's family. We're meant to represent His spiritual Israel in the new covenant. So just as they had covering with Moses and Aaron, all these chiefs, all the way down, that spiritual covering over Israel, so today are we also to have this spiritual covering. Spiritual covering is still for us today. For me personally, I've learned a lot about grace and covering through Pastor Christian and Pastor Aaron. I've been with this church since January 1st, 2006. Pastor Christian did not become pastor until 2008, but he was my prayer team leader starting in 2006. And I had to learn a lot from him. He taught me a lot, and I learned that as I began to submit to him and share with him and receive his counsel, his prayer, his teaching, I really began to grow. I'm under his covering, okay? He's speaking into my life, and my heart was open, and I matured so much under him as a prayer team member. Then in 2008, it was about April and May of 2008, I went home for a ministry trip. I had to raise funds because I'm a missionary out here, and I wanted to speak at college fellowships. So I visited a bunch of college fellowships in Virginia, including when Pastor JP was in school. I spoke at his fellowship. That was kind of our first time that we met back then in 2008. He remembers it well. It was a powerful trip. It was a really powerful trip. Thank you for that word of affirmation. That was his first time hearing my testimony, one of many now. But I experienced a lot of spiritual warfare on that trip. Specifically at the first university I went to, I was speaking at a fellowship, and I was there for a few days, and that fellowship was going through a lot of division. It was going through some different immorality, some different things among the leaders. And so I was having to kind of clean that up and speak into the staff and things like that. And it wasn't easy. And I remember I went to sleep one night and I had a dream. In this dream, I was in a battle and it was like Vietnam. It was like jungle. I got my you know, machine gun and, you know, I'm shooting and the enemy's coming. And I have a few fellow soldiers, but I see that they're getting scared. And they're starting to fall back, okay? And I know, no, we got to stay on this ground. So I'm staying, and I'm continuing to fight. And then I look around, and I got nobody. I'm all alone, and I just see the enemy coming. And it's that feeling of, well, this is it. I'm dead, you know? It's over. Well, all of a sudden, as I'm having that feeling, a helicopter comes down. Helicopter opens up, and here are a couple of members of, we were JSEM at that time. They came out with their guns, and they look at me, and they're like, it's okay. And I felt it in my spirit, them saying, we got you covered. We got you covered. And I woke up, and I knew it was their prayers that were with me. And sure enough, that morning that I woke up, Pastor Christian emailed me and said, we were praying for you last night at Friday Fire. And, you know, keep us up there. We're all interceding for you. God's spirit broke out during that trip, more strongly than ever I had experienced in my life. And people remember it. When I visited these fellowships, like, Spirit of God was really moving. I wasn't a preacher then. I didn't like to speak. It was like one of my first times even speaking in front of people. But God's Spirit showed up. And it wasn't because, oh, JM's super talented, experienced. No, I wasn't. It was because people were praying for me. It was because I was covered. And if you go on a missions trip with this church, you experience it. You get out there and you're in the cold and you're like put in these ministry situations that are totally new to you, and you pray for people and suddenly they're falling out or suddenly people are getting healed. You know it's not you. You know it's like, oh, I earned this. You know, oh, I became this. No, you know it's because the church is praying for you, because you're covered and there's a security, there's a safety. That even if something bad happens, it's like, oh, it's okay. People are fasting for us. They're praying for us. We're going to be okay through this. That's the power of covering. There's been moments where I've been jittery. I've been stressed out with Oak Tree Project, with Jerusalem Ministry, with you know, the church, with different things. And all it would take is a conversation with Pastor Christian, Pastor Aaron. And it's not even them speaking in like super powerful words or I have this prophetic word for you or anything like that. They just speak in reassurance. They speak in truth, or they just tell me, hey, we're praying. We're keeping you in mind. And just that alone reassures my soul. It's like I'm back under that blanket. I'm no longer shivering on my bed, but I got that blanket back over me. Yeah, I got these different issues I got to deal with. Yeah, it's cold outside, but I'm covered. It's going to be okay. I can rest. It's the power of covering. So we need covering. And this is a church. Man, New Philly is a blessed church in terms of covering. We are very intentional in this. How do you get covering? You're in this house. What do I do? Like, I want to feel warmth. I want to grow. I want to experience rest. I want to experience God more. You get involved with the church. You get in a CG, community group, which is like a small group that meets once a week. All right. And your spiritual covering is your CG leader. They're getting to know you. They're getting into your life. They're teaching you. They're praying for you. Okay. They're counseling you. You get built up. You get into Emmaus. You join a familia. You get into the community. You get into that covering. This is so crucial. You need spiritual covering. But I want to look back at Numbers chapter 30. And I want to say covering goes two ways. It's not just my responsibility to cover my wife, Skye. It's Skye's responsibility to stay under that covering. Okay, and we're going to look at this. In Numbers chapter 30, verse 3 through 5, it says, if a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow, and of her pledge by which she has bound herself, and says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of her, no pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. And the Lord will forgive her, because her father opposed her. Look at that. Her father needs to hear. In other words, she needs to be in the house. If you want covering, you have to be in the house. And it's not just you have to be there physically, you have to be there with your heart, with your spirit. Over many years, I've seen committed people to this church come Sunday after Sunday, join a CG, even join leadership. But I'll notice that their heart isn't fully in it. And they're good at the outward stuff. They're good at the physical. They're there in the physical. They're doing the stuff in the physical. But in the spirit, for whatever reason, they're not growing. And I know the reason. The reason is that as Pastor Christian's preaching and speaking into their heart, their heart's closed. Whether it's offense, whether it's pride, whether it's fear, whether it's a secret sin, whatever the reason, their heart isn't open to their spiritual covering. So they're in the house. They're right in front of him. He might be speaking into them. But if they're not really there with their heart, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. I have seen healthy parents take care of their kids so much, but for whatever reason, the kid was just bent on the sin or doing whatever the kid wanted, and the kid ended up doing that sin. It's not the parent's fault. They did what they needed to do in terms of covering. For whatever reason, the child chose to do elsewhere. Think even Jesus Christ, he was covering over his 12 disciples. He was the best covering we could ever ask for. And he still had a disciple that was stealing among the disciples. He was in charge of the money. His name was Judas Iscariot. And over the years of Jesus teaching and praying all night and taking care of them, he was still stealing. And then he ended up betraying Jesus. Covering goes two ways. Judas's heart was not open to Jesus. He was there in the physical, but his heart was wrapped up in money. It was wrapped up in sin. It was wrapped up in his own ways. So church, you have to be there in your heart. And different things can attack people. They'll think, oh, for some people, they just feel well-intentioned. Like, I don't want to, I just see Pastor Sky and Pastor James. They're so busy, that I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to interfere. I got these issues. I got these struggles. But, I feel bad for them. And so you don't share. And it just kind of remains in. And what happens is if it just remains in there, it festers. Bitterness starts to creep in. And whereas before you're like, oh, they're just too busy. Soon it's, oh, they're too busy. Oh, man, they never even pay attention to me. They should know what's going on in me right now. Even though they're looking at 80 different people, they should know me right here. Look at me. You're preaching. You're looking out right now. No, I can't discern. You got to open up. And so some are well-intentioned and that they're not trying to close their heart. But because of the different issues, like, oh, I didn't agree with the way they handled that leader, or I didn't agree with the way that was taught. But I don't want to share because I don't want to trouble them. The heart begins to close. And for others, it's a secret sin. Oh, they're showing up the prayer meetings. They're showing up for everything. But there's a secret sin that's going on. And because of the secret sin, there's a fear of opening up. Oh, if I open up, they're going to judge me. If I open up, then I might, something bad might happen. So I'm just going to cover that. But in covering that up and not opening up, their heart is covered. And they're not receiving the full covering of the house. They're not able to grow. And one of the main reasons for a lot of people, and I've experienced this myself, and I've had to grow out of it, it's pride. Oh man, my missions team leader. Like, I'm way more experienced. I know the Bible way more. I know all these things. And yet I got to submit to this. This person's inexperienced. They don't know what they're doing. And that lie can come in of, I don't have anything to gain here. Oh, this can be really hard on a lot of pastors when they get a guest pastor or an intern pastor. This can be hard for a lot of leaders as well. A person's preaching for the first time. Oh, well, we'll just clap and, hey, you tried, and I'll take notes next week. I don't need my notebook tonight. That's spiritual pride. And what happens with that spiritual pride is the heart's closed. Before that person has even said a word, you're not listening. Just nodding your head. You're there in the physical, but in the spirit, you are not getting covered. You are not getting blessed. We have to open our heart. I'm going to put up 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of the Corinthians. He says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our heart to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Look at that. Spiritual covering. I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. Open wide your hearts also. If you want to receive from us, if you want to truly flourish in your walk, open your heart to us. Don't let pride block you. Don't let fear block you. Don't let different lies block you. Open up your heart. For me, my personal story, one of my big things struggling with covering was when I was at Virginia Tech. During my fourth and my fifth year, I was involved with a large fellowship, NLCF there. It was like 700, 800 people. It's very similar to Campus Crusade. I was discipled. I was brought up. But at the end of my third year, I felt God telling me to transition over to an Asian fellowship, CCF. Okay? And I saw that there was a huge leadership void there. All the staff were leaving. A lot of the head leaders that were older were leaving. And there was great need. And I could feel in my spirit I needed to go over to this fellowship. And so I first spoke with NLCF. I showed them honor. I got their blessing. They fully blessed me. It was great. And I spoke with the CCF leaders, and they welcomed me. And so I joined CCF, having been discipled, brought up. I'd grown so much. I'd done missions trips, led missions trips. I came a very seasoned leader as a fourth year for CCF. And we got a new staff. So the staff members, like full-time, like Pastor JP, his staff at Emmaus, same there at CCF. One staff leader. But this staff leader had just accepted Christ 2 years earlier. And this staff leader had not grown in the word, that strong. Like, she's still a baby Christian, like 2 years, had not had a Christian background, or anything like that. And here she is leading us. And I remember we'd get into staff meetings and, we'd be planning out. And her leadership style, it was just clear she'd never led before. Can you imagine someone joining leadership, not being a reserve leader, not being an active leader, but suddenly being campus pastor? You know, suddenly like being in control over Emmaus. Like, you're going to get some hiccups. You're going to get like some like, okay, you know, we got to work through this. And she would make decisions that I was totally against. And I would feel it like, I know this is better and I can teach this from the word and I can do these things. And I would talk with her and she would just be firm. Like, no, this is what I feel God is leading and this is what we're going to do. And I would go home to my apartment at Virginia Tech so frustrated. She's like, why am I here? Like, what is this? Like, the fellowship would be so much better if I were just in control, if I could just make these decisions. And I would go to God in prayer and frustration, just be like, God, what is up with this? And kind of lay it out before the Lord. And I would never hear God telling me like, oh, yeah, I understand. Or you know, oh, you're right. You know, John Michael. I'd never get that. Instead, I just hear God's whisper. And he'd say, bless her. He would say, submit to her authority and bless her. That was all I got. Oh, no, I got one more word. Get over yourself. It was hard to take because here I'm looking at this fellowship, all these, you know, first years that I'm shepherding and all these, you know, different students. And it's like, I want to do it. You know, I want to lead. I want to teach these things. I want to lead it this way. And you know, worship would be so much better if this person were, you know, to handle this. And I couldn't do anything because I was under her covering. But I felt God saying, if you resist this, you're going to miss out on my blessings. You're going to go outside of the house and you're going to be vulnerable. You're going to be alone. And that pride is going to get in like it got in with Satan. Pride leads to a fall. God said, you submit. You bless her, I'm in control. And this is the hardest thing to understand with covering. Because we as humans, we're taught to look at people as our provision. My dad provides for me as a kid. Okay, and so dad's here, I feel safe. Dad's absent all of a sudden, you know, oh, we don't have money, I don't feel safe. My hope and my faith is in a man. But as you become a believer, your hope and your faith is not meant to be in man. It's meant to be in Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all, who is our true covering over all things. And God says that he puts specific authorities in our place. Some are pagan authorities in the government. But he is the one who decides who gets put into the place. And God says you pray for them and you bless them and you submit to your leaders. God doesn't say that to your own detriment. Submit to your leaders so that they can give you horrible advice and you can live a miserable life. That's not it. It's you submit to your leaders so that your pride goes down. So that you learn to see that God is really in control. You know what happened over those 2 years with her as the leader of the fellowship? She left shortly after, I believe. So I was only there for 2 years. She was there for those 2 years. God blessed me, you know, with her. In those 2 years, the fellowship flourished. It grew. Maybe if we had done a different program or done something different, maybe something could have happened, but it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. Under her covering, Pastor Sky got saved. Okay, Pastor Sky says that, you know, I was her first year leader when I was a fifth year, okay, and, you know, she gives me some credit, but I couldn't have been a leader if my leader hadn't given me that blessing, okay, to lead her, you know, and so she's due this credit as well. And I look at that and I just see it. It's a testimony to God's sovereignty. Covering is a testimony to God's sovereignty that he is in control. And that he loves us. Now, your leader tells you to do something immoral, you don't submit to that. Your leader tells you to do sin, you don't submit to that. Okay? But outside of sin, there needs to be a healthy respect and prayer. And I could tell what God would say to me during those times where we'd have meetings and there'd be conflict and it just didn't look good. And you know, it would be easy to judge this person or to side with the leaders that were confronting her. I could feel God saying, pray for her. Pray for her. Pray that she be strengthened. Okay, you reap what you sow. And I could have reaped criticism. I could have sown criticism. I could have just agreed with those other leaders that were being critical, and I would have reaped criticism. It would have come back to get me. But God said, no, bless her. Pray for her. And this is what we need to do under covering. We need to bless them. We need to open wide our hearts. And we need to trust that in the end, Jesus is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He is the chief of the chiefs. He's over Moses and Aaron. Okay, he's at the top. And while our chief of the 10, you know, our CG leader, maybe we don't see eye to eye, or maybe I don't agree about everything, in the end, God, not Pastor JM, not Pastor Christian, not Pastor Benjamin. It was God that ordained this person to be my CG leader. I need to submit. Some of the main ways that you receive covering is through your leaders' prayers, your leaders' teaching, and your leaders' counsel. Okay, I'm not going to preach into all these things, but I want you guys to know these are the three areas that you get spiritual covering through. Prayers of your spiritual leader. That means if you're going through a hard time, talk to your leader. That's part about being in the house. Tell them what's going on. It breaks my heart when I hear 2 months later that a certain leader was going through a horrible time for 2 months. And I hadn't been praying because I was never told what was going on. You got to talk to your leader and seek prayer. That releases grace over your life. Just as the father is able to pray for his daughter and release grace over her, your CG leader, I don't care how long he or she's been a Christian or how mature he or she is, your familial leader, they have grace given by God in that situation. You submit to that covering, you receive that grace. Counsel. The counsel that they give you, it might not be perfect. When I was at Virginia Tech, the counsel that was given to me wasn't always perfect, at least in my eyes. But you know what? In the end, everything was blessed. I don't have some specific regret of, oh, we should have definitely done this differently back at Virginia Tech. God is sovereign. He'll take care of these things. You trust in him. If a leader is totally off in their counsel, I guarantee you God will correct it. He loves you too much. But you got to seek that counsel. And as you submit to that counsel, okay, as you pray, and it's okay to talk it through. It's okay to say, hey, I'm not so sure about this. Not in a divisive tone, but just trying to get more explanation. But as you do that, grace is released. That's covering. That's warmth. That's protection. You're able to rest. This leader said it, I can do it. Because the word is now on the leader. The covering is now on the leader. That responsibility is now on the leader. I just have to follow through. And teaching. You could be in a CG, you could be faithful to everything, but if you are not opening your heart to your leader's teaching, you are missing out on so much grace. If you right now are nodding your head and everything, but you're not taking notes and you're not really listening to what I'm saying, you're not receiving anything. You're not receiving the grace from this message. Okay? Your heart has to be open to the teaching. Prayers of your spiritual covering, the counsel of your spiritual covering, and the teaching of the spiritual covering. Those are the things that are needed so much. Open wide your heart and receive. And so, you know, we talk about different matters. We have different protocols in the church, different things that counsel on heavy issues in your life. Like you're praying into a new job, okay? You're praying into a dating relationship. You know, you're considering these things. You have something heavy going on in your family. You got a strong prophetic word from some outside source. These are things you need to submit to your spiritual covering to receive grace. You do it on your own, okay? You have no defense around you. And the responsibility of your decisions is solely on you, okay? But if you do it in the house, there is a grace that is shared, a grace that is released. There's a greater safety. There's a greater assurement. There's greater confidence in what you're doing. This is meant to be for your benefit. Not meant to be for control, not meant to be to restrain you or to hold you down. It's meant to bless you. I could have done these mission trips on my own. I could have gone to Myanmar on my own. I could have gone to Cambodia on my own. I could have done that trip to America on my own, just not even told Pastor Christian about it. Just, oh, man, I got it. I can do it. What would have happened when I had that dream, the machine gun, all those around me? There would have been no helicopter coming down. I would have had no spiritual covering because I was doing it on my own. I was going rogue. And when you go rogue, you're very vulnerable. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you alone. He wants you completely uncovered. We need grace. We need to be sent in grace. So open up. Open wide your heart and trust that God cares for you. He will cover you. He will bless you. I want to close by sharing a dream that I had recently. And as you guys know, I do orphanage ministry here. My heart is for North Korea. I want to go to North Korea to plant orphanages for these kids. These kids are not easy, okay? These kids have a lot of scars. There's a reason why they're called orphan. They were abandoned. They were rejected, all right? So these kids need a lot of healing. And in this dream that I had, I was in like this huge dormitory, It was almost like I was at Virginia Tech, like in a huge dormitory, but there was also an outside area with a playground and different things. And my initial thought, to be honest, was, am I in a jail? Okay, because it was like hallways and rooms and stuff like that, and a feeling that we're like, we're in here. But then as I looked around, I realized I was in an orphanage and that I was in charge. And what had happened was there was someone above me, but that person had left, had gone out for some sort of errand or some sort of work. So I was in charge. And the workers around me were kind of shaken. They were like, what do we do? You know, the leader's gone. Like, how do we handle this? And I reassured them. I was like, don't worry. I'm in control. I got it covered. Just keep taking care of the kids. And the kids were running around, and they were so happy. And I could tell they did not want to leave. And I think that's part of why I initially felt like it was a jail, because it's like they're stuck in here. But as I looked around, I realized they loved the boundaries. They loved being in this place. It was a place of safety. And I remember I took one of the kids. It was a kid from my orphanage that just I knew was representing orphans, you know, in the dream. This is after I woke up and prayed about, got the interpretation. But I took this child in. This child was a little bit older, not like a little kid, into a room. It was like a healing room. And if you study child development, if a kid is not loved when they are from a baby to like 5 years old, they miss out on specific phases of needing to be held, okay, of needing to be like, you know, go to sleep in their parents' arms. They miss that. And it's a crucial part of every person's development. And so books, psychological books say that if you take care of a child with this and they have what's called reactive attachment disorder from that, from not being loved at a young age, you need to actually hold them like they're a baby. This isn't something that they need for years and years and years, but it's something that they need for a couple months to have some time each day to just be held like that. Okay, and this is what happened in the dream. So I took in one of the kids, and I sat down and put the kid on my lap and was holding the kid, kind of big kid, you know, in this, and the kid just fell asleep and was in my arms. And I was just sitting there, you know, it's like I'd punched in, you know, I'm just waiting. And the kid starts to shake in the dreams, just being touched by the Holy Spirit, being touched. And then, you know, time is like up. It's like it's done. And the child wakes up. And I pick the kid up, and the kid's all happy, runs back out to go play. And I go out, and I take another kid, and I bring that kid in. And we sit down. And then I woke up. And from that dream, it was just like, it was just another one of those dreams, you know, for North Korea, another one of those dreams for these kids. But what stood out to me in that dream was the power of covering in that place, that place felt so safe, that the kids knew they were in a place of love. And they were 100% in a place of trust of the love of the workers that were there. And they didn't want to go out. They had lived on the outside when they were orphaned. They had been vulnerable. They had been abused. They had been taken advantage of. They had been cold and hungry and without a home. They knew what it's like to be out there on their own. But now, suddenly, they were in a place of refuge. They were in a home with covering, with people who are praying for them, looking out for them, disciplining them, laughing with them, playing with them. And to an outsider, it's like, well, that's like a jail. They can't leave. That's not good. But on the inside, as you see, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. That's from Psalm 16. That they see that these boundaries are beautiful. And that within this place, I am safe. I don't have to worry about being judged. I don't have to worry about starving. I don't have to worry about not growing healthy in a good way. I don't have to worry about not having a place to sleep at night. I don't have to worry about someone yelling at me or hitting me. I'm safe. I'm secure. I'm covered. And that is my prayer and my dream for these children and for these orphans. And I know that that's God's heart for this church as well. We're not a perfect church. We make mistakes and we're still, you know, figuring things out. But this is God's heart, that in this place, among us, there is such safety. There is such acceptance. Doesn't matter what you're going through. We'll discipline if necessary, but it's not because we hate you. It's because we love you. And as we get so safe, as that covering gets so strong, we start to experience healing like those kids in that dream. We start to experience acceleration of His grace, a prophetic inspiration. This is my prayer for this house. It's my prayer for the children of Korea. And I hope that you guys pray this with me and that you guys are blessed this year. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have the whole world in your hands, God. Thank you that in the book of Job it says, in his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And God, in the end, you are our covering. But God, you didn't leave us to be alone and to just have to trust in the Spirit the things that we can't see. But God, you have set us in a family, in the family of God, in the household of God. And you've given us spiritual covering, covering that's very intimate in our small groups and our familias and in these areas of discipleship and growth, and also covering that's just outstretched in the pastors and the leaders that are above us. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're establishing a culture of freedom, a culture of safety, a culture of rest here in this house. And I pray that this year, Lord, this church will be so safe, will be so in your arms, so submitted in covering, with hearts open to our leaders, and leaders' hearts open to their leaders. Clear communication, blessed prayers, blessed teaching, blessed counseling. And that we will see your hand move. And that as we rest in you, God, as we're in a place of such comfort and safety, Lord, that you will release prophetic word. And it won't be word that will shake. It won't be word that will divide like has happened in so many churches. But it will be words that will build up this house in amazing ways. The people that were living under some sort of ceiling that have been just living life like they had for years will experience breakthrough this year. The people who have just been average in height for so long will experience growth spurts through this year as we learn to rest, as we submit in these coverings, God. So I bless this house, Lord. I bless this house with freedom, Lord, in the boundaries that you have set. Joy in these areas, God. Clear communication, Lord. Blessed rest for all. Praise you, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name.